Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
So one decision from one judge has made everybody completely crazy. And the judge didn't even say anything other than you got to follow procedure. That was the mask decision. The decision on masks was one, based on my reading of it, one that was procedural. Not about constitutionality, not about whether or not even the president can do it, or an agency can say you have to wear masks on an airplane. It's about whether or not the rules were followed. Well, this is going to now lead us down the road of, sure, what will the appeal be? The appeal process in this. But what we didn't expect, but of course expected, but never wanted, but knew we were going to get, was the attack on the judge herself. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. It's good to be with you. 833-GOT-TONY. 833-468-8669. William Jacobson joins us right now. Cornell Law Professor. The mind behind LegalInsurrection.com. Now, this is the story of the judge, Catherine Kimball Mizelle. M-I-Z-E-L-L-E. I think I'm pronouncing her name right. And she was appointed by President Trump. She clerked for Clarence Thomas. And when this decision came out, there were people like Andy Slavitt, who are former Obamaites, who were all about, well, you know, this specific kind of judge.
Well, that's a pretty shaky legal ruling from a young and I think I would say probably idealistic judge, a former Clarence Thomas clerk. But be that as it may, what we're seeing today, people have to react to. I'm going to get on a plane.
And no one cares if Andy Slavitt's going to get on a plane. But look at how they're talking about judges. Shaky ruling, young judge, Clarence Thomas. I mean, the disparaging is nuts. William Jacobson, first let's start with what it is this decision was. And I don't think I'm wrong here. This was about how the CDC engaged in procedure and not about constitutionality, correct?
Well, it's the first issue is whether the CDC even had the authority to do this. And just like they didn't have the authority to shut down the, cruise industry and other things that they've done, just because you're the CDC doesn't mean you get to tell everybody in the country how to live about everything. And so that was really the first issue and the major issue she tackled, which is this exceeds their authority. The CDC relied on a sentence in the law that authorized the CDC to take actions. And it had a list of things, you know, exterminate bugs, et cetera, and they had the word sanitation in there. And so the CDC said making people wear masks is just a form of sanitation, and therefore they have the authority to do it. And the judge examined what the word sanitation means. It wasn't defined in the statute. She went back historically and then applied ordinary rules of statutory construction, which is you have to read the word in the context of the sentence that it came out with. And it's very clear that, you know, it was in the context of things like fumigating, et cetera, et cetera. So she concluded that under the statute, normal statutory construction, sanitation doesn't mean forcing somebody to wear a mask. That's not the statutory meaning. And therefore, they had no authority. So that was issue number one. Then issue number two was even if they did have the authority, they couldn't just announce this. They had to go through a process that they didn't go through, and they did not have good cause to evade that process. Because this CDC mandate was essentially, I think it was Biden's first day in office, maybe a second day in office. They just announced it. Okay, and all of a sudden now anybody on a bus, train, plane, wherever, in the whole country has to wear a mask because the CDC said so. So that was really the ruling.
So that really does bring us to, for a lot of people, myself included, how did a lawsuit like this not come sooner? Why, we're 2 years plus into this insanity, in my view, and was nobody engaged in lawsuits earlier than this? What made it this judge this moment?
Yeah, well, the mask mandate came into effect when Biden took office, so that's late January of 2021. A lawsuit was filed, I believe, in the spring of 2021, and it took time to work its way through the court system. I didn't follow it at the time, but they apparently didn't seek any sort of immediate injunction. They went through the process, and it was fully briefed maybe a month ago, and there were cross motions for summary judgment. So whatever those litigants, for whatever their reason, decided not to push it on an expedited basis. So that's how we got here. But I don't know why they did that, or, you know, and I haven't followed the litigation early in its life, so I don't know what happened in those early months. But it took almost a year, which is from the filing of the lawsuit, to get this decision, which is kind of odd, because if you remember all the immigration cases against Trump, I mean, they got their decisions in a week. You know, there was no pussyfooting around there. And this one took almost a year.
Talking to William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor, the mind behind LegalInsurrection.com. You should be checking it out, the foundation, the work he does on critical race theory. But the part two of the story now is how quickly people began real attacks on this judge, as you have the story. Smear campaign mounts against Trump-appointed judge who struck down the CDC mask mandate, but the DOJ will not seek the emergency stay. So maybe we could start with the second part, a little bit of tease to getting to this attack on Judge Mizell. We heard that there would be an appeal. I never doubted that there would be an appeal. The DOJ said they were going to look at it. Are they not going to appeal this decision?
Well, as of last night, and I haven't checked this morning, but as of last night, they said they would appeal if the CDC decided the mask mandate was still needed. So, but if they were really hot to push this, they would have been by now in, you know, Court of Appeals seeking a stay of her order and reimposition of the mask mandate. As of last night, they said that's not what they're going to do. They're going to wait for the CDC to evaluate it. Now, it's a very tricky question because her decision is overwhelmingly popular with the American people. So you would have Joe Biden running back into court demanding reimposition of masks everywhere. And with his polls in the low 30s at best, that's not something they probably politically really want to do. So I think they've got some decision making. And everybody, you know, depending when you ask, this the whole issue of the masking is subject to dispute. Remember, very early in the pandemic, Tony Fauci, you know, St. Fauci, announced that masks were worthless. It was a joke. Of course, and then it became not so worthless and not such a joke. And it was mandatory, and you want to kill old people if you don't wear your mask. And now there have been studies, and it's a mixed bag, whether it's even effective or not. I mean, you know, and it might depend on what sort of mask you're wearing. And, of course, you have these ridiculous rules that when you're on the plane, you have to wear a mask, except when you're eating, as if the virus will not spread when you're eating, but it will spread when you're not eating. I mean, it became such an absurdity that I think the Biden administration is in a very difficult position.
Now this attack on Judge Mizell, as you write about it, the attacks are an attempt to target her early in her judicial career. The plan is don't let this woman get close to being a Supreme Court justice, just like they did to Janice Rogers Brown.
Well, that's right. I mean, there were a couple of lines of attack on her immediately. One is one of those things that is true but misleading. Okay, they made a big deal about the fact that the American Bar Association rated her as not qualified. That's the rating. And that sounds really bad. And when I first heard that, and I, you know, hadn't really looked into it, I said, oh my God, here's the ABA again, you know, playing politics. That's why the Republicans disregard what they have to say. But let me look at this. And lo and behold, the ABA rating was actually highly favorable to her. They spoke about her in very glowing terms, some of which I quoted in my article, but they found her not qualified because she was too recently out of law school. I think she only had 8 cumulative years of experience. And by the ABA standards, which are completely arbitrary, they're not written into law, but the ABA wants judicial nominees to have 12 years of experience, not 8 years of experience. And she never tried a case herself. And they felt that that combination of only 8 years experience and never having been a trial attorney, she was not qualified to be a federal court trial judge, but they spoke very highly of her. Spoke about her having an impressive resume, about great recommendations. Extremely smart, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously she clerked for major judges, including Clarence Thomas. So the big headlines in most places were judge rated not qualified, strikes mask mandate. So, yeah, it's true. Technically, it's true. The American Bar Association, but having nothing to do with her intellect or her ability to write an opinion. And in fact, this whole thing has nothing to do with the trial. This was all on the papers. So there was no trial issue. So that's number one, is not painting her as not qualified without the explanation that it's simply because she only had 8 years, not 12, not because she's an unqualified or not smart person. And then the other lines of attack were, of course, Trumpist judge, et cetera, et cetera. And apparently her husband has some connections to Stephen Miller, who used to be Trump's assistant. And that's another line of attack, and just generally disparaging sort of comments about her. So basically what they're doing is they're trying to paint her the way they paint everybody, some sort of Looney Tune, right. Some sort of, Trumpist, crazy person, issues a crazy ruling, not qualified. But it's not just a particular commentator saying it. It's major headlines everywhere. And I think part of it is, she is viewed as somebody, not next year, but, in some future, Republican administration, probably will get nominated for a Court of Appeals spot. And, 10 years down the line could be, a potential Supreme Court person. And so I think that has a lot to do with it.
Before I let you go, talking to William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor, LegalInsurrection.com, you talk about Looney Tunes. Philadelphia is the only city in the world that has a mask mandate right now. The lawsuits are out there. You've got Leslie Eastman reporting about that at LegalInsurrection.com. These lawsuits, can stuff like this go anywhere? I mean, isn't it like one health official says we should do this, and the mayor says yes, we should do this, and your answer is we'll elect a new mayor? What's the case here?
Yeah, well, I don't know the law in Pennsylvania or Philadelphia, but if they have that power under local law, they have the power under local law. There's nothing to do with the CDC mask mandate, which was a matter of federal law. So you'd have to look at what powers the mayor of a city has, or the mayor of Philadelphia, to impose this. So I don't know the answer to it, but it's not the same analysis that we just went through with regard to the national mask mandate.
William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor, LegalInsurrection.com. I appreciate you taking the time. We've got more. I'm Tony Katz.